captain of Ingolimus. Akivas faces his job in GOG with Keeve and Ellie and Zooey.
Hogsmeack fam, welcome back to New Girl, Old Guy for Season 5, Episode 12, D-Day. My name is Ali Lasher, and I am here in the middle of Sukkot with Akiva Wienerker. How you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, I'm doing especially great because I've been sleeping indoors the last couple nights. I was at first sleeping outdoors with the kids, sleeping in the sukkah. I can't explain sukkah again. Google it if you don't know what it is, but whatever.
I saw a TikTok or like some meme that was the funniest thing I've ever seen, because you know how like outdoor dining in New York is still a thing from the pandemic, and they have these sort of shacks outside, and somebody was like, "Ooh, great sukkah, another great sukkah," because they're all like three walled with a roof. So, how's the lulav shaking?
It's going great. Although it's a lot of like, it's too inside baseball. I can't even get into it. I got to stop myself.
As opposed to what we've normally discussed.
This is like inside, though. This is like almost crazy.
You're saying I'm not Jewish enough to have.
No, you are. I think you could understand it. But I think some of the fine folks out there in NGOGville, some of the goggers.
Have you gotten complaints that you're getting too inside baseball? I haven't.
But no, it's just like, I thought about the road I'd have to go on to explain what's going on, and it's not a road I want to. But why do people say road to hoe? Like, what does it even mean? I don't know. But
is that? I think it's gardening related.
Yeah. No, I don't. I'm not implying it's anything.
School.
But like.
No, I know. But I'm saying, like, did you used to have to hoe a road out?
I'm not sure.
What does road to hoe mean? Well, I know what it means, but what's it from?
What's the etymology of road to hoe?
It stems from tough or hard to hoe, a hard row to hoe. Is it possible that we've been mispronouncing it and then we've just gotten comfortable saying road? Like
anything's possible.
Playing it by ear. Anyway, let's start saying it's a hard row to hoe and be authentic to farming culture.
Okay. Tell me
what
if
a
this
perfect
is
thing to discuss on Sukkot.
Yeah, tell me if this is normal.
It's probably not. Spoiler alert: I don't think so.
My 9-year-old son Noam has been asking for months. He's very creative. He's always planning some project or making like, I don't know. He's always doing something. He's very into like printing, and he'll go to like his grandparents' house and like print off a million papers and make packets or spreadsheets or I don't know. He's always doing random stuff. He has been talking about a scavenger hunt, and we did a small one on our street and the neighboring streets last year. He's been talking about doing a scavenger hunt for months, and we keep saying like, no, you know, he said, I need a few hours and I need like $100. And
so that's like a scam.
Well, actually he started at like $60, but then he basically said like, if we don't do it today, can I get more money? And he like earned his way into pushing it to 100.
I'm very impressed by this kid.
So basically he's been begging to do it and we keep pushing it off. And now it's like, it's a vacation. It's Friday. I'm not doing any podcasts tomorrow. Like it has to be tomorrow. So, we are going, and this is like not staying locally. Like we don't know the itinerary. We made him run it by, his grandmother. So she like had to approve everything to see if it was logistically possible.
But like, she will not be participating. It was just because you and Mara can't look at it. So
yes,
another adult
we can't
had
be
to bless
spoiled
it.
By it.
Very cute.
So there's like, he claims there's 28 to 30 stops. We only have like a 4-hour window and we're driving to a different city and back. So this is what I got going on tomorrow. I got to wake up early, for the scavenger hunt.
This is very exciting. Can we get the exclusive? Can we find out how it went before your other ventures?
Yes. Nobody else will. Well, if we record early enough, we'll be the only one to we could be the next podcast I'm on to record. But yes, I will save the exclusive for New Girl, Old Guy. My problem with these things is I often find myself complaining, you know, and I have to not do that. I know we worked hard on it, but really it's like the last thing in the world that I, you know, I'd like to run around.
I have 300 questions.
Yeah. Okay.
But you're going to be in a car though, or you're getting out of the car and then you're going to be on the
floor. Getting out of the car. Yeah. No, there's going to be like, a lot of like different, places. I know the last one, basically we had to like, we didn't have a car cause it was like locally. He didn't. And we were in two teams.
Oh, you've done this before.
He did a small one. We had to get something to park. Basically every clue leads to the next clue. You know, that's how scavenger hunt works, but we had two teams. I hope he does. I don't think he'll split us up this time. I just don't think it's possible.
Let's take a step back. I was going to ask this. So is it just your family participating?
It's just my seven. Yeah, it's the seven.
Which
of
is
us.
Enough. That's what's great.
That's
about
a
having
big
family.
It is true. Because yeah. Sometimes my kids will be like, let's say it's a holiday and we're not like doing anything with relatives. Like just us, like just you. I was four for most of my life. You know what I mean? Like,
oh,
we were.
Your just casual Shabbat, regular run-of-the-mill family, whatever dinner,
yeah,
is larger than most of my major holidays. Like my Kol Nidre dinner for me was five people.
No, for sure. And I've been there. Trust me, I had one sibling, you know, my entire childhood. And we had a very small family, and my mom's siblings lived in California and Israel. Like, you know, so we were four at many times.
So wait, I have so many more questions. So there's two kinds of scavenger hunts, right? One is the one where each clue leads to the next, and one is a list of items, you know, take a picture or get these list of items.
Honestly, that's I should have suggested that to him because what you're saying is smart, but no, this is one clue leads to the next for sure.
So no, I mean, it's much more difficult for the creator to do the one that you're doing where one clue leads to the next.
I mean, I don't know how
pre-hidden clues, or it's like Amazing Race, and when you get to the next location, he will bring the clue out.
So he did last time. He did pre-hide all the clues last
time. Akiva, this is unbelievable. You're
not
talking
all,
about
there were
this...
some of them, like, he, like, would, you know, tape something to a tree or something. I mean, he's very, like, if he wants to do something, I'm telling you, he'll go...
Well, he's your wife's son.
No, but she would never...
But she
could. Very different. She could do anything. But
she could do it.
I don't think she ever made her family sit through. I would make us do plays on Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's cute. I'm sure they were very offensive.
My parents. Yeah, I'm not going to say.
No further questions on those plays.
but. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the plan is. He won't tell us anything. Also. I also found out like it ended up being over $100 today, and I started saying something, and my wife was like,
"What
furious,
is co- what
like,
costs money?"
I wish I could tell you, and I will be able to tell you next week.
Yeah, I'm writing down my questions. I already have it for next week.
I don't know, and he was talking about, is this place open? Is that? I'm sure there's got to be food on the list. Although,
well, he's a little bit your son. There's got to be food involved.
I assume there is because I don't know. Now, my daughter did something like this, actually, like 5 years ago, and she made shirts. We all had to wear matching shirts. And Seinfeld reference, I really didn't want to put on the shirt. It had our faces on it. I thought it was like lame. And there was a big fight, but I've grown.
You're this sixth child. Like I don't.
But I listen. It was a long time ago. It was really like 7 or 8 years ago. I've learned from my mistakes.
You were a child. Yeah. Back in your 30s, you're a different person.
I made a mistake. I wouldn't do that again. I didn't want to, but sometimes.
Do you know how lucky you are? You're complaining about all of this that your kids arrange their own family activities. All you have to do is most parents have to do stuff like this to entertain their kids.
I'd be lucky if they like, hey, I'm gonna have a play date with Johnny. You don't have to, you know what I mean? You don't have to worry about me for the next 5 hours.
No, the reality is, hey, I'm bored. What are we doing? Like that's what most parents have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Your kids are planning family fun days for you and you're complaining.
Not complaining.
You've already previewed that you'll be complaining. I'm not saying you're going to complain. You said that.
Yeah. So I will give you the update next week on how it goes, but that's what we got going on. And that's why
you want to know what my dad was famous for. I don't remember this. I was too young. But when my brother, we used to go on family vacations with another family, and they have a brother my brother's age, and then they have two girls, one a couple years older than me, one a couple years younger than me. And
who are you friends with, the older one or the younger one when you were a kid?
I'm sorry?
Which one did you gravitate to, the older kid or the younger kid?
It really depends, because when I was young enough to be in the kids club, like, I was in the kids club with the younger one for a number of years, and then I moved, you know, it's like based on the way.
Is that the kids club? Because I don't know what the kids club is.
Oh, sorry. The kids club. The kids club is like on a cruise or at a Club Med or whatever. You could drop your kid off with 16-year-olds and they can like color and walk around holding a rope, and then they do a show or something. You know, they entertain your kids. That's the vacation. But it really depended which age I was sandwiched into. And they were close, so it really wasn't any drama. But most of the time spent in the kids club, particularly the younger one, we really worked on how to get sprung from the kids club and how we could get someone to sign us out. Anyway, my dad drew a treasure map and like planned basically a scavenger hunt with buried treasure at the end on one of our vacations. And the dads acted like they found this treasure map, like it was really left by pirates and all of this shtick. And apparently it was like the most fun thing we ever did on any vacation. Noam is doing the dad work.
Yeah, that's, I mean, he does that a lot. I think he thinks he is 60 years old. Yeah.
Well, when you leave gaps, I guess your kids will fill them.
That's No. Come on. This is unusual, you know.
All right. Let's talk about season 5, episode 12, D-Day, before your D-Day tomorrow. Originally aired March 22nd, 2016. What were you doing March 22nd, 2016? Any idea?
I can check. Probably watching the NCAA tournament, if I had to guess.
It's like you could check Chester's calendar of his life events.
Well, I don't have a calendar, but I could check my Gmail and
No need. All right. Let's get to the digest.
Okay. Yeah. So I'll keep it short and sweet. Jess makes out with Schmidt's dad. There's a bunch of stuff about Schmidt and Cece's wedding. And all sorts of other things at the bar. But really, that's, I think, the headline, the highlight of this episode. Jess kisses Gavin, who is the father of Schmidt, whose first name we do not know.
I don't know if it's just because we were on a long break or if we were going through this weird, like, Jess leaves period. But I think we are now two episodes in to NGOG being regular again. But also, you know, the last two episodes, I think we are in a golden age of New Girl. I really like this episode.
Wow. A golden age of New Girl. And you think that continues for the rest of the season?
I don't know, because I came in a New Girl expert and I left a noob girl, because I haven't seen an episode that we haven't talked about in 3 years.
I think you're more excited now because it's been so long since we've watched, I guess.
Yeah, it's like, well, when we started NGOG, I had watched New Girl like 3 times in a row in full because I just kept running it at night. And now that I don't do that, I'm like enjoying these episodes more. I don't know. I think this was like a very high joke density, a lot of like funny moments, too like sitcom-y, but not too crazy, clear, like to follow stories. Everybody had something to do. I enjoyed this episode. This was like a above replacement level sitcom episode to me.
Above replacement level basically means it was not terrible.
Well, replacement level I thought was average. Like you could slot it into any. I was going to say, I confess, I don't know what replacement level means. And you've explained it to me before. And I just can't get it.
Let me mansplain again.
Please.
No, replacement level is like you're like one of the worst players on the team. And replacement level means you could take a guy out of the minors and like he'd be as good as you, basically.
Oh, my God. I thought replacement level meant like you could slot it into any, like it is just like above average, like replacement level being you could replace it with, you know, nobody would miss a beat. Like just like.
Yeah. No. If you were worse, you'd be a negative, basically.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, like above average is what I mean.
I understand. Yeah. Listen, it's a baseball term that people try and put into regular, but
I guess I want to say you could put this up against the average episode from any good sitcom, and it would perform above it. So above average for sitcoms.
yeah, I'm with you.
I'm not, so I'm glad somebody is. What do you think? Am I overhyping it?
No, this is a good episode. It's probably an I mean important, I don't know, because I don't know if we see the OC dad again. But yeah, I think this is, there was probably a commercial like, guess who Jess is making out with this week? And then it's Schmidt's dad. Do you think, should we look? Are there commercials about this
Yeah,
going
sure.
into this
Look,
episode?
now that
Sometimes.
I'm listening to the Seinfeld recaps, I mean, I know it's different because I don't want you to be spoiled here, but you put a lot of effort into those episodes. You had news, you had what was going on today, you had who died. I mean, I'm glad we're not doing the who died segments. That's fine to leave out.
I mean, that was a much more in-depth, even though we would go on a lot of tangents, I do think that was a much more straightforward, in-depth review of each episode of Seinfeld. And I will say, it's a different type of show. Like Seinfeld, the average Seinfeld's episode has been viewed, tens, if 100, 200 million times. Like a lot of them feel like events, even like non-classic episodes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know we're doing something different. All I'm saying is
I put in
I'm
a lot of work
criticizing you.
there.
You put in a lot more work
Well,
there.
yeah, it is true. Yeah, I mean, right. I watched every DVD extra, and we had a
But
mailbag,
based
and
on what I would project your audience size was, I think you're putting in a proportionate amount of effort here.
I'll never know. I don't know what our audience size is now. Don't tell me, and I didn't know then. I've never asked for any podcast.
Yeah, every once in a while, Brian's like, I asked Scott for our numbers. Here it is if you want it. And I'm like, I can't. I do not care. I care. I'm happy for people to listen and interact and enjoy it. And I like when people tell me they enjoy the show, this one and or the challenge. But I don't need to be crunching numbers.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, if they're good, they'll probably tell me, and if they're bad, they'll probably be like, "Hey, it's canceled," you know?
If I was doing either podcast for the numbers, I'd replace myself with somebody more likable who would do more numbers.
All right,
I
can
don't
I?
think. I think I have a
I'm gonna.
ceiling.
No, your ceiling is the roof, like Michael Jordan once said. But it was the roof of
That's
like a
kind of a low
big.
seat. That's a low
No,
ceiling.
it was the ceiling of like a basketball stadium. That was a very high roof. When he said the ceiling is the roof, it was like North Carolina's. All right, I'm gonna tell you. I found. Listen, that's why they call me one of the. I don't like to say best researchers in the business, but one of the researchers in the business.
You're a crack researcher.
Thank you.
You're an Emmy. You're an Emmy award-winning researcher.
Technically, an Emmy award-winning associate producer. It doesn't say researcher on my Emmy, but
We know what you
that's
did.
that was my title. Oh wait, so okay. Let me re let me. T I'm gonna tell you what the commercial was, and if they
Okay,
mention,
really quick, before we get to that, I just
yeah,
want to say,
I'm very
just
excited
a
for this.
quick aside.
Yeah.
I mentioned that you had won an Emmy. We kind of glossed over it. I like, I'm just going to keep mentioning that you've won an Emmy and really
Good,
gloss
because
over
I
it.
haven't posted. I would never like post my Emmy on social media. You know what I mean? It's just,
Well,
it's not my style. You think I
because
would?
you have never really participated in the NGOG WhatsApp group, but when somebody raised your Emmy, you swooped in, 2 seconds passed, boom, shot of the Emmy, which,
Elson.
as you should. But
Wait,
you have never once participated in that chat.
that's not
I was
social
shocked to
media.
see you were reading it.
There's 20 people. Well, also, like, I have to like at least click read on everything, and that chat is not that active that I can't read everything. When I
No,
come
no.
back to like the 125 person, 32 fans chat, and there's 1,000 chats after Shabbat, unless I'm tagged, I usually scroll through pretty quickly, and I'm done, or even just go straight to the bottom. No, that was just like that figures it was safe space, 20 people, but I wouldn't post it on all social media.
Can I post your Emmy on social media?
If
I
like,
could do it without permission because I
yeah,
have the photo that you posted in the group.
if the time, well, I also sent it to you beforehand. If the
One I
time,
can't find.
if it's like relevant, you can't just post it now. If it was ever like relevant, you could post it. Well, oh, hold on, I'm gonna
When would
tell
it be
you.
relevant?
I don't know if you're making fun of me or something, like this guy won an Emmy or like the Emmy Award,
I'm
but.
gonna like when somebody okay if somebody ever like tweets like hate at you,
Yeah. You'll be like.
I will respond just with the Emmy, and people will think like I'm giving a trophy to the person trolling you,
Mm-hmm.
But really, it's boom, Emmy. Or if somebody like, the people on when you would do the meme of, oh, you want a trophy for that? Oh, you want a cookie? If someone like brags or confronts me, I'll give him a Kivas
It's
trophy.
a very specific thing, but yes, if someone ever says, do you want a cookie or a trophy, you have
So
it.
Goggers, tweet hate and
No,
trolling messages
don't.
to
No, it's got to be
Akiva if you
natural.
want me
It's got to be
to.
natural.
All right, Akiva, you will identify to me if you get any trolling tweets, and then I will
I
come
would
in.
probably tell you anyway, but yeah.
Like the people's elbow, baby. I'll drop that Emmy right into it.
Wow,
Did you hear
people's elbow reference.
the
Yeah.
smack?
I didn't know you were such a people's elbow gal.
I've made a people's elbow reference before, and you've been equally as astonished.
I'm old. I'm 40. I don't, you know. I don't
You're
you know
like
there's
Uncle Leo. I'm old. I don't know where I am.
you know they say when you're 40 in Judaism you could start learning Kabbalah.
I know. We'll get your red string, baby, Madonna
Yeah.
style.
I think that's not really us. She's not, actually not Jewish, Madonna.
Well, yeah, Kabbalah and like mysticism got really involved. I remember being in Hebrew school at the time, and my Hebrew school teacher was complaining that people just like celebrities go and do like Kabbalah, but they don't know you have to be for that's how I knew you had to be 40 and all of the stuff you have to like accomplish in Jewish learning before you're able to be opened up to that,
Yeah, Demi
I
Moore and
think.
Ashton Kutcher were very into it. Like I had a student whose dad married them in Israel. They're not Jewish. It was like the guy was Orthodox. I don't know. It was weird. Let me read the promo to you.
Yeah,
I will tell
please,
you.
please.
All right. So it's only 20 seconds. Fox Tuesday. New Girl's a wedding planner. Hold on. I'm gonna stop it for a second.
You're
They
doing
refer
great.
to Jess as New Girl, like that's her name. I did not know that's how the marketing went.
Where are you finding this?
I just Googled New Girl D-Day commercial.
All right, keep going.
Listen, that's how you make it in the researcher business. So they call her New Girl. They say New Girl is a wedding planner. Fascinating. Now we see Sandy. His name was Sandy in the OC, right?
Paul Gall Peter Gallagher.
Peter Gallagher. And she said, Gavin from the winery gave me a. Yeah, so you see her telling Schmidt that.
Are you watching this commercial and just repeating the lines?
Well, I'm
Or are you
pausing a lot.
reading?
I'm
Oh,
pausing a
okay.
lot.
That's cool. That's cool.
We're 13 seconds in, but it's only 20 seconds. She tells Schmidt that Gavin from the winery gave her a good deal, and they kissed a little. And Schmidt starts freaking out, and he says, "You just made out with my dad." Yes, that was
So
the.
that scene from the episode, the
Yes,
reveal
the
scene.
yes. New Girl, all new Tuesday, 8/7 Central.
What? Okay.
The Pacific people get mad. I guess it's 8 for them too. So what do they care?
Honestly, though, what a terrible promo. This is like when Survivor editors for the promo used to accidentally like spoil who was going to
Yeah.
win the challenge or
They're
who was
gonna
going to go
vote out their
home.
mom. Yeah.
Yeah, because like you were this my first question for you really is like at what point did you realize if at all that Gavin was Schmidt's dad?
I didn't realize.
So that's like a pretty exciting reveal. Rare to get
Yes.
a reveal like that in a sitcom like 3/4 of the way through the episode.
100%. This was a big deal, and they blew it for the many people who watched their commercials.
Well, thankfully, you were not doing the research level that you were able to do that you were capable of,
Well,
and
that's
that you
another
spoke.
reason I can't do it is I would
Oh
get
yeah,
spoiled.
I said that when I first made the comment. I said, and I know it's different because we don't want you spoiled.
Yeah, and I was definitely
Anyway,
listening when you said that.
yeah, I know you're always listening very attentively. So Schmidt's soliciting wedding invitation options. He's completely stressed out. He's run ragged. He's preparing for an epic day of decisions coming up, which I don't really think is how wedding vendor shopping goes, but I don't really
You
know.
just
I don't
make
think you
it's like
probably
epic
know
decision
either.
day. You make like 30 big decisions on one
Yeah,
day.
like you set up all of your appointments for every single
And
thing
they're
you have to do in one
uncancelable.
day.
These people who you're giving an obscene amount of money
Yeah.
to, like, would not take your business the next day.
So, of course, Aunt Cece has this gas station news gig, which is a callback to the audition that she completely bombed back in the day. I believe it was the same thing, like gas station newswoman.
Yeah,
Remember that?
I thought we just did this. I was confused by that.
Yeah, so she, the person who got the job, is now missing, which is a kind of a funny thing to say. A little dark. Yeah. A little
great
dark
news.
Humor. So CeCe's going to miss all of the vendor appointments. So Jess is going to go, and she's going to wear a helmet that I haven't really seen except in the context of the challenge where they like strap a GoPro yes. to her head. Should you be wearing one when Mara's away? Is this a solve instead of Mara having to write detailed instructions on every appliance?
I mean, I brought this up, right? That they had there was a camera. It wasn't for me. I did. Didn't we talk about this on was it this show or was it one of my other shows? I thought it was NGOG, honestly.
Well, try it. I can't remember what happened yesterday.
There was a when I was home alone for 2 weeks. At one point, Noam called and said, "I'm watching on the Ring cam."
Oh yes. But that was reverse. That was stationary. Should you be taping the Ring cam to your head?
By the way, I got the answer to why there was a Ring cam in the house.
I think you told us during the time.
No, I didn't know it then. Maybe I came back.
I think you told us, but go ahead.
I'll tell you what it is. You tell me if it rings a bell. She said the insurance, like our home insurance, lapsed for like 10 days between switching providers or whatever. And so I don't know. There's something to do with the camera. It was a bizarre answer.
So you still don't know. That does not ring
camera
bell. No, it
was the insurance.
Bell,
she said it was for insurance purposes.
That's a good, clean excuse for anything. Why do we have anything in our house? It's insurance purposes.
Insurance purposes.
That sounds like the Jiffy Park guy in Seinfeld.
But why does she take off the GoPro again? Like, do we see her take it off?
She doesn't take it off. Schmidt's going absolutely insane, so she forces him to watch a calming water feature and sings Christina Aguilera's Genie in a Bottle until he falls asleep.
Ah, but then she takes it off because she's not wearing it the rest
of the
time.
Yeah, then she takes it off because he's asleep.
Yeah.
Unclear the challenge on the brain when Schmidt goes to his tux fitting and napkin ring genius, but we do see Jess picking chairs, going cake tasting, and then she's got to go to the beverage guy and she finds Gavin's information, but he was actually Schmidt's dad and filed in there because Schmidt was going to maybe reach out to his dad. Now, I don't recall getting much of the background on how Schmidt feels about his dad. I know we've only really talked about Schmidt's mom and her, you know, quote unquote, live-in roommate that Schmidt won't really recognize. So this was a little bit like forced background that we didn't have to me, mm-hmm. but it didn't ruin the episode.
No, it didn't ruin the episode. But I also like we meet so many of their parents like once or twice, and it's hard to keep up with all of them, honestly.
Yeah, and we don't. We're actually, I feel like maybe if I were planning a sitcom, obviously I've never done sitcom writing, but maybe it is difficult to do too much like story development. Maybe it is just like, all right, well, what haven't we, you know, this season when we're storyboarding or whatever, let's like go into Schmidt's dad. We haven't mined that. We haven't done this. Like, because not everything, certainly not everything in most sitcoms, but definitely not everything in New Girl connects or, you know, makes a lot of sense season 1 to season 7.
Yeah, and I think also now they see the end probably near, and the ratings are super low, so it's like, all right, we just need some stunt casting and get everyone's parent, you know, give everyone, like, an interesting parent.
Are the ratings super low?
Oh, they're very low at this point, yeah. Unbelievably low.
Like, how low?
I mean, it was 2 million an episode. We were, last time we looked, at beginning of season 5.
Is that low? I don't know anything about ratings because I'm a reality TV girly. So like the ratings are so different.
Yeah, and 2 million for like the real world, they would literally have champagne in the hallway.
Right. MTV has literally like sunk its entire network into the challenge, and they've never once had 2 million viewers.
No, for sure not. They don't. They maybe get close to 1 million. So basically, I think what we said was they had the Super Bowl episode. The show had dipped into the threes in season 3, and then they had 26 million for the Super Bowl episode, and they went right back, and then a few weeks later, they were, like, into the twos. And at this point, it's about to crater. D-Day has 2.25 million, but I'm spoiling myself on a title. Jeff Day a couple weeks from now has 1.92. That's very low. I mean, at that point, it was probably like, it used to be like no show on television had less than like 10 million viewers. And then like 15 years ago, it was like, oh, Lost is a big hit. It has 10, 11 million. And now I don't think the most popular show on television gets 10 million except football.
Would you believe me if I told you that SeriesFinale.com has the average viewers in millions of the Challenge US season 2 at 1.5 million?
Season 2? Yeah, because it was a zillion years ago. There was 12
channels. The CBS USA, like the one airing right now on CBS.
Well, that's very low.
But you said that would be crazy for...
Yeah, because you were talking about MTV.
Okay.
No, it's much different. I mean, I haven't like looked at ratings this year or last year, and I'm sure things are way down with the strike and there's less on TV, but it is crazy because I think they're probably getting like the same amount of money for ads, even though like the people are like 80% gone. And like, I mean, I was watching college football 2 weeks ago, and the Alabama cheerleaders were holding up Survivor buffs. Like they were promoting the 45th season of Survivor. Because that's like one of the tent poles of their schedule, right? And it probably gets like 4 million viewers now or something. And like they almost canceled it back, you know, when it had like 7.5 a few years ago. It was like, oh, that's...
What does a P2 plus mean in a demo? Is that everybody? 2 plus 2 days?
Yeah, I think they're counting all the... Everyone who's watching within 2 days. I think including streaming, but definitely including people who DVR'd it.
Okay, so the average audience size is around like 500,000 for the last MTV season in 2023.
Yeah, I think that's pretty typical. 500, maybe 750.
Never hit 700. It was like the highest was like 670.
Wow.
Which, you know, Rob, if you're listening when you're reviewing our audience size, scale it to the viewers.
Is very good. Yeah, I'm sure.
Anyway. It's always interesting because I don't know a lot about like TV. I watch a lot of TV. I don't know a lot about it, but I know you do. So I like picking your brain.
We'll get like Max Dawson on one episode. He'll break down the ratings for us.
Yeah, seriously. Okay. So Peter Gallagher comes in while Schmidt's asleep. Were you an OC guy?
I watched a couple episodes, but I wouldn't say I was an OC guy.
It's funny. According to IMDb, Max Greenfield had a cameo or an episode on the OC where he played a younger version of Sandy.
Wow.
So I guess people feel like there's a lot of family resemblance there, or enough family resemblance.
Yeah, I am the wrong person to ask, but I guess I see it.
Also, Jess really has a thing for like an older, suave brunette man. Between the fancy man and Schmidt's dad, Mr. Schmidt.
Let me ask a stupid question.
Please.
Is this like the most off limits thing ever? Like your friend's dad?
It's so funny because, well, like, yes, obviously, like whatever. That's the stupid part of the question. Mm-hmm. But here, Schmidt has such a strong reaction, like, but when you have no relationship with him and she had no possible way of knowing and they just like kiss a little, I think you just never talk about it again. Like you just never discuss it again and you just move on.
Yeah.
Not like he's close to him. Like Schmidt doesn't even really, you know, have a relationship with him. He's calling him Gavin.
Right. Yeah. I think that is part of it is like, I don't care about this person. So it probably matters a little less.
And they're not married. It's not like she cheated on his mom. If he was still married, and then it's like, I accidentally kissed your dad while he was married.
Right. Yeah, I think in general, like, we can, you know, forget things that happen. And it's like, all right.
It would gross me out. I just think it's it's just, you don't talk about it again. Do you think, like, to get to the Kiwi guide a little bit, do you think this is going to come up, like, it is a good thing for a sitcom to mine, like, next season, if Schmidt wants something from Jess, and he's like, you kiss my dad, you know? Like, that would work.
Yeah, that's a good... I think it will come up, like, one more time, but I don't think we'll see Sandy again.
Okay, not you think he's not showing up at the wedding? You think we don't see the wedding?
Ooh,
Is the
good
wedding getting
question.
yada yada'd over,
I
you
don't think
know,
the
over the
wedding's gonna
summer
yada
break?
yada. I know they spent the budget on Taylor Swift the last. Imagine, and now they have like the most famous person in world history as a guest star in their show. It's even crazier than it was a year ago. Can we talk about this for a second?
Please.
Listen, I like Taylor Swift. I listen to all her music. I've ranked her, like songs on albums of hers before. Like, I have no problem with Taylor Swift. Do you think it's strange at all that she went from being like the biggest music star to being like it's such national news that she goes to a game?
So nothing has puzzled me more over the last couple of weeks than what Taylor Swift has to gain from this. Because, like, I've talked, like, Rourke and I have texted about this, and Rourke is like, no one does anything without, like, a motive. And I don't know what she's getting or what deal she has with the NFL, but, like, you know, this isn't real. And I'm like, I hear you. I would think that about almost anybody else, but Taylor Swift is Oprah. Like, Taylor Swift is more powerful than the NFL. Taylor Swift doesn't need anything from the NFL, and I don't think her Matty Healy pub was bad enough to need to like be with the apple pie like sweetie football player. I have to believe that Taylor Swift is just in her 30-something girly era, and it's just fun to do this crazy shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, how f I would find this so fun to bring my girlies to my hot boyfriends or hot boy toys like NFL game. And it's a little disjointed because she has previously been recently so private. Like, her and Joe Alwyn were like rarely seen out together. But I heard on TikTok, I'm not a Taylor Swift girly. I don't dislike her. And in fact, this is the most I've ever liked her. So maybe it is working. But that the fact that her and Joe weren't really in the public eye together was more Joe's preference than hers. Now, I don't know how true that is. But pre-Joe Alwyn, Taylor Swift was like on Ellen complaining about, you know, how the Jonas brother, Joe Jonas, broke up with her over a text message or something. So it is like old school Taylor Swift to just be out and about with whoever your boy is.
Yeah,
I don't know
everything
what
you're
you asked me, but that's sort of where I'm sitting with it.
saying is correct, that I think she is just in this like mid-30s era of having fun. No question. However, I think A, she has always been known as being the most like nothing she does is by accident. And I know they take it overboard maybe sometimes with the hey, 18 plus 33 plus 147 equals, you know, her grandma's birthday. She's very calculating. That's what people have said about her for 20 years.
Yes, that's where Rourke sits.
And so, no, it did come out today that the NFL gave her free commercials. Did you see this? They basically, a lot of the commercials for her movie, they've been begging her to do the Super Bowl for you know over a decade at this point, and you know the Pitbull haters at the NFL.
Well, I heard that she has only declined that because she wants to re-record all of her music so that it's her music before she does that. That's what the rumor I had
But
heard. Like, I don't
that
think she's
probably
against doing
was
that.
true, and now she's like too big for it, even. You know what I mean? Now it's like beneath her because
I don't know. Gaga did it at like a very height of
it's
her
true.
career.
It 100%. And Lady was unbelievably big at that point, but she was never near this level. Where she was selling
Right.
out
She could
four
do
nights
no
of a
publicity
stadium.
and sell that out.
She did do no publicity, I think,
No,
basically.
I'm saying Taylor Swift could do no pub and sell it out. Lady Gaga did it in advance of announcing her tour, so that and it did work. I went to that concert as a
Yeah, but
result.
I don't think she was doing four nights each weekend in football stadiums all across the country and selling them out, and people were paying thousands of dollars for
So do
the.
you think, okay, this is interesting. So you think she is, so like I have tickets and with my mom, and neither of us are Swifties. We don't hate her, but we're not like we would never buy a ticket to the concert. But we're going
To a
because what a
movie?
phenomenon it was, and I'm happy to sit in the movie theater, and I don't dislike her music, and I'd like to see what all the fuss was about. But is the NFL ads bringing in a new audience to a movie theater where she doesn't need to sell to her fans? but is a movie theater's reach so broad that she needs to tap into a different audience? Like, I think she could sell this out without the commercials in the NFL.
But if there's enough demand, it spills into weeks 2 and 3 and 4 also. Do you know what I mean? Like, yes, tickets I'm sure will be hard to get for the first week or whatever. But I think, yeah, you're seeing it.
But I bought them a month ago. I bought these tickets. I got an email from the movie theater and I bought them immediately and it was almost sold out. Then they were adding more shows, whatever. And I'm not a fan. So again, I'm just like, yes, Rourke was like, everyone has something to gain. Everybody could have more or could want more. And yeah, if she cut a deal with the NFL to get free commercials. But she has so much money she could have paid for these commercials, you know, like.
Yeah, but first of all, she wouldn't even have to pay for the commercials. They're basically
whatever, the marketing team, whoever the people are.
Yeah, they're doing it to get on her good side for whatever reason.
So you're saying they're giving her the commercials unrelated to her sitting in the stands or in hopes of her doing the.
This is the question. Is it maybe, hey, come to the game. We'll give you, you know, you have your own box. Whose box was she sitting? I haven't seen anybody really doing any journalism on it. Like, I obviously you're rich, you could buy a box, but like, was it someone's box? It wasn't the owner's box, right? She's not sitting there with the owner or neither.
Well, I don't know where and she also, was, like where Travis Kelce's mom is sitting.
The thing that's shady, and we're, by the way, already over the amount of time we said we'd finish by it. But
yeah, whatever. My mom hasn't come to yell at me yet. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
The thing that's shady is, so she's very close with Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds. And Ryan Reynolds.
It's the State Farm thing.
Yes. And Ryan Reynolds has like a marketing arm of his company, which that does the Netflix stuff and, you know, owns Rex and the football team and Always Sunny and everything. No, Always Sunny is separate. different guy, co-owner of the team. And but his vodka or whatever type of alcohol he sells. And right. They placed Jake from State Farm in. At the game earlier that day with Kelce's mom. So there is definitely connections. I think she like,
But this is, I'll say this. That's the same Ryan Reynolds. Ryan Reynolds' teams are so quick to jump on the like best marketing opportunity. Like they're actually an amazing team. And I'm not saying like, I'm not saying it's not possible that this wasn't calculated 6 months ago or whatever. And it was like, all right, you're going to go to Travis Kelce's game. Then I'm going to get Jake at the next game when more eyes will be on Travis Kelce's mom, blah, blah, blah. But it is not uncommon for Ryan Reynolds' publicity team or PR, whatever, to immediately capitalize and get somebody somewhere where that's the news of the day. I wouldn't be surprised if that happened like the next day.
Right.
They did that with the commercial. Who did they have in their commercial? Like someone blew up and then the next day they had a commercial with that person.
Oh, it was like
they're very,
Mr.
they
Big.
Move very quickly.
Was that Mr. Big from Sex and the City when he got killed, but then he got canceled that night or something?
Yes.
And they had to like drop it immediately, basically. Yes, that was them. You're right. Good call. Yeah. So I would say
sorry,
stay woke.
What were you saying?
No, I would say stay woke. Like it's not as genuine as it seems.
This is what I said to Rourke. Is like, I have not seen a theory that is convincing me of what's in it for Taylor. Like, of course, I'm happy to believe that this is calculated because she can't leave her house without being calculated. Like, right. She's too famous to just do things. So,
yes.
100% there has to be planning and whatever and thought up from her PR strategy team and blah, 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 just to like go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And so, to be this public, this out has to be a massive deal for her whole team. Okay, I get that. But nobody until you has given me a reason what's in it for her. Because I see what's in it for the Kelces. I see what's in it for the NFL. I see what it's in for all of her girlies and Ryan Reynolds. But only this NFL commercial thing for the movie maybe makes a little bit of sense. However, the asterisk to me is her whole brand is being the relatable girly who believes in love, who gets hurt by the wrong guy all the time. And to do something that is so obviously a publicity stunt around dating, like she hasn't said anything. So the internet decided they were dating.
Right.
And then she was seen at the games with him. So they could never talk to each other again. And she
but
would owe no one
talking,
any explanation.
Which they did.
Yeah,
have,
yeah,
right?
But
I
we can get to that.
The last boyfriend
but,
never spoke in his life, probably.
But I'm just saying, like, it's not like they've confirmed. All he said was I had a really good time and it was really cool to see Taylor there with mom and I'm not going to talk about my personal life. Like he wasn't like, yeah, Taylor's my girlfriend and that's so exciting for me. So I just think, like, sure, did they see a window of opportunity to sort of troll the media back and say, like, oh, you think we're dating? Well, now I'm at the game and now I've gotten all these lucrative deals as a result. Fine. But it's that has to be bad for her overall brand of trolling her own fans who believe in her love story, who believe in the songs, who feel like she's their BFF and constantly has her heart on the line and getting her heart broken. Like, that is a bad look to have the like fake relationship. I think it's kind of a shitty look for her.
I hear what you're saying. I don't know if it's fake. I just think it's there. She's using it. I think ultimately, like, she's trying to sell a movie, and even though maybe like she made so much money on the tour, and she's probably, they say she's gonna be a billionaire by the end of the next year. Like, I think it's like conquering a new thing. It's like, oh, I could do anything. You know what I mean? And then she could basically sell whatever she wants, and she probably has a huge percentage of the gross of the movie also. So she stands to
I
make an
thought the
obscene amount of money.
tour, I thought the tour did that already. That the tour was like, she's always been big, but like the way
Oh, for
that
sure.
tour sold, it broke Ticketmaster. Like it put Ticketmaster in legal trouble. Like, you know, like it was like an unbelievably, you know, but okay. Okay. I'm willing to buy that more than I had that
Yeah,
she
I
just
think we'll
got paid
probably
by the
get.
NFL.
Yeah, no, I don't think she's getting played. I think she's doing the
Paid, sorry.
playing, if anything. Oh,
No,
paid. Oh,
paid.
that's, I mean, it's possible, but I think it's more likely. Maybe, who's plane is she flying on? Maybe she's flying on their plane. I don't know.
I know somebody said that she did this to cover up like the criticism of her private jet like
That was a
fuel.
joke. I think it was a joke, but it was pretty
Yeah.
funny. They're like, now we need Google Taylor Swift and jets.
I buy that she did it to cover up the media circus around Joe Jonas and Sophie Turner as a favor to Sophie Turner. I'm a girl's girl, what can I say?
No, I do like it. I think it is a very funny theory. Was she friends with her before? And I don't know. I didn't follow it like that closely.
I think so, but I'm not sure because she used to date Joe, so I don't know if it's just like an alliance of exes or if they were friendly. I think
Or she
she
was just
sort
like
of
a
made
big
up with the
Game of
jokes for
Thrones
the
fan
reason.
or something.
Well, she's a relatable girly, so maybe. If she's really relatable, then she only watched a few episodes when people were getting together. That's the relatable Game of Thrones
You
fandom.
mean your experience with the show?
Yes, my lived experience.
Relatable
All
to
right.
you.
So it ends up with Gavin giving a semi-touching speech into the GoPro about how he'd love an opportunity to, you know, see the man that Schmidt has become. Schmidt ends up coming out and introducing CeCe to Gavin and, you know, inviting him to the wedding, saying like maybe I'll show up this time. So you don't think Gavin's showing up to the wedding?
Now that you're right, they bring it up. I think no. I think it's like a storyline that he doesn't come, maybe. How come it's always bad dads? Why is everyone's dad like a loser on these shows?
Well,
What if
that's
there
what
was a
people
good
complain
dad?
about with Disney movies. It's always parents gone, no parents. Marlin, Finding Nemo, he's a great dad.
What if there were, yeah, what if there were more good dads in these shows? Or is it not funny?
Jess's dad is a good dad.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, not every dad is terrible, but I think all the side character, like any supporting character's dad is basically a loser. Wait, have we met Cece's dad?
I was just thinking, I don't think we've met Cece or Winston's dad, and then Nick's dad was not a good guy.
No, he wasn't.
All right. So I do want to say for the record that the second option, so there's like kind of a cute callback to the beginning of the episode where Gavin mentions that he likes the second option better, which is the option that Schmidt like hideous. Who sends a wedding invitation with like 6,000 pink hearts on it?
Yeah, I don't know. Schmidt cares about the. I don't know. It's weird.
Do you, we've already discussed wedding invitations in this podcast, but do you remember what your wedding invitation looked like?
No idea. And they all look the
Like, if I
same.
give you a lineup of two with the same information, would you know which one was
I
yours?
wouldn't. I wouldn't. I think it's like boring and yeah, maybe one had like Hebrew and English and one was just English, I would know. But like it's boring and but I do remember there was like, a minute with my bar mitzvah and with the wedding where like the invitations person is like the most important person alive, you know what I mean? When you're getting the invitations, like, oh,
Yeah.
they take on like a lot of, I don't know.
We spent forever picking my invitation. My invitation, the underline had like a heart, and it was like that was the move. That was the what was in vogue. little heart in your name.
Well, you think it'll come back for your wedding potentially one day?
I think wedding invitations are getting more and more like people are not spending money. People are doing very pretty little like doodles of like the venue or just like a single sheet. My mom still feels very strongly about like an embossed invitation. My bat mitzvah invitation was ridiculous. It was like a lavender thick paper with then a little silver mirror behind it with then a white matting behind it. Like that invitation must have been $1 million. I'll send you a picture of it. But now I think it's becoming more trendy to just have like even an Evite or like a very simple
invitation. So you can Evite weddings
invitation.
These days.
I don't have a problem with it. I have received it. We've talked about this on this podcast because Chester feels very strongly about invitations. Maybe we talked about it with him.
Well, he said you can't. What was his take? That you can't Evite weddings?
No, I think he thinks invitations are like the stupidest thing of all time. If
yeah,
I
well, he is very like practical, like frugal in a like practical way. Yeah.
I mean, it's much easier to go to your email and search somebody's name and remember like what the date is, where it is, then it's connected to the registry. Like all the information you need online is better. I still like getting a paper invitation, but if I get an Evite, I'm not like, wow, this is a like shitty event.
My parents have, they're the anti-Chester. They have like a section by their kitchen that's like a bulletin board. And he, you know, because he's like has a lot of different like roles in the community and a rabbi, like they're always probably have like six weddings on the relatively near horizon. And so they have like a board there where, with all the weddings. But I don't know. I think it, for someone like them, like older people, they would not, they would miss a wedding, I think, if it was just an Evite. Like they wouldn't remember it probably.
No. Oh, yeah. No, I have to look up my mom's all the time. I'm going to send you a funny picture. I'm in my mom's office. I'm home this week. And it's funny. My mom is going to start coming in and pressuring me that we need to be going or doing whatever she wants to do. Mm-hmm. And when I went in about 50 minutes ago to tell her I was doing a quick podcast with you, she was annoyed, but she was on the phone with her friend. And I said, you'll still be on the phone when I get off the podcast. Don't worry. She is still on the phone. And she had already been on the phone about an hour before I came in to tell her. Very long.
Probably, you know, using up all her minutes for the month.
Okay, I'm sending you a photo. Do I not look like the guy from Spaceballs in this?
Let me see.
This is my hair at my brother's bar mitzvah.
All right, so now, can you send me a Spaceballs picture, guy?
Oh, you don't know the guy from Spaceballs?
I've seen the movie Spaceballs, but I mean, this is
Google it. Google Spaceballs.
But what's his name?
Spaceballs. Just Google it. I'm sure. Helmet. Spaceballs helmet. Something like
his
that.
His name is Helmet?
No, but like it's a big helmet he wears.
Ah, so your hair looks like his helmet, you're saying?
Yeah.
Rick Moranis' helmet. Yeah, yeah, this is a fascinating hair. I've never seen this hairdo before in my life.
Well, it just, I had like big bangs. You're making it crazy. I have side up. So I have like two twists with like little.
They're like double bangs. Basically. It's like, imagine if you put like Jess's bangs on Cece's bangs. That's what basically.
You have double bangs. That's what I call
it. That's what it is. And honestly,
the song She Bangs was written about this photo.
Not a great hair day for Robbie Lash either. On
Anyway, all right.
Is this
talking
his bar
shit
mitzvah?
About a 13. Yeah.
He looks very young.
He's 13.
He looked very, I mean, I guess 13-year-olds are young, but he looks really young in that picture.
All right.
That was
no
such
one's
a
13,
that was such like an
someone.
Early, I guess, 2000. When was his bar mitzvah? Early 2000s, right?
It might have been like 2000. He 2000. Was born in 87. Yeah.
Putting like your jacket, like wrapping
you
it over your
both
shoulder
of this.
With the one finger.
Both of our poses were so of that time. Mm-hmm. I have my arms crossed like as though we'd be back to back like Olsen twins.
Yeah.
But he's not just, I'm just against him inexplicably. And he's leaning forward with his hand on one knee with his jacket slung over his
That's
shoulder.
That's how the photographers made you pose back then.
Yeah, we look very 2000. Anyway, all right. Let's move
Who
on.
Who won the episode?
No, let's just get to the side story, the B
sure.
story. You know, Winston is back from a crime turducken, and Nick is upset because he keeps getting stood up for meat lunch. Meat lunch, an interesting tradition. I'm glad they don't really go into explaining it because it sort of speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm.
Should we have a meat lunch now every time you're back in New York?
I would love
no more
to
sushi.
Have it. Well, honestly, as you come here, it makes more sense because lunch is the main meal of the day here. So, like, I've never seen in the history of my office, no one has ever gotten like pizza for lunch or like a bagel. It's either a salad or a heavy lunch. Because it's, and then people have like a light dinner a lot of times.
Well, that's healthier. That's very European. That mm-hmm. makes sense.
Yes.
What do you think? We used to, Missy and I, when we worked together at our last shop, we used to do a thing with some of the guys there called a power lunch, where you just go to a steakhouse in the middle of the day. We would dress up to business professional, like they'd wear ties when we never actually wore ties. And you have a, we'd have an extreme power lunch and just make power moves. And then it's very difficult to work after you've eaten a steak in the middle of the day.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. Listen, I mean, what did they used to do in like the Mad Men era and a little beyond? They would go to like a 2.5 hour lunch. They would have like 4 scotches, you know. I don't know the quantities of scotch, but it sounds like a lot of scotch is. And then... Right. And they'd have like smoke 7 cigarettes at the table, eat like a whole steak for $7, and then go back to, you know, squeeze their secretary's butt and work the rest of the day.
Do you mean to say $7? Are you making a comment on inflation?
No, it was probably the 70s. It was probably like a $7.50 steak for lunch or something like that.
All right. So Winston disrespects Nick like, you should have time. You know, who cares about you going back to work? You basically work at a big fridge. And that somehow snowballs into a conversation about who juggles bigger balls or whose balls are bigger.
Yes.
Between being a bartender and being a cop.
Yeah. And Nick has to like do a lot of scheduling. There's a lot of balls to juggle.
Yeah, I agree that it would be difficult to manage a bar. Certainly. It's a little rushed that Winston like folds in 15 seconds of, you know, like then I did like the joke of the delivery. He doesn't know where to put the delivery. So when Nick takes over, he's just like, yep, that goes where it normally goes.
Yeah.
Anyone's job's difficult in the first half hour when you don't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think talking to customers would have been, I mean, the scheduling was very believable, but I think Winston doing like some one-on-one bartender chatter with customers would be extremely awkward. And we could have had some funny moments of customers walking out and being put off by the weird things that Winston says.
No, for sure. Listen, everyone's job is, you know, I guess, I don't know. Everyone thinks their job's hard.
Yeah. Well, not everyone wins Emmys for it, for their hard work.
I mean, in theory, it was my side hustle, the Emmy. It wasn't really my
So Nick goes on a ride along with Winston and Allie. They end up picking up a perp, and it really freaks Nick out, and he admits being a cop is harder. And then Allie, the voice of reason, is like, Winston, it was never about whose job was harder. Nick just wanted you to respect him. So they make up over some burgers where Winston is still kind of an ass, where he's like, my job is unquestionably more difficult, but I've never seen you try at anything, so this is great to see you working hard. Like, it's not even a compliment, but it's a nice moment, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's kind of an insult wrapped in
an insult.
Well, what would you rather be? When he says that, I've never seen you work hard before.
What do you mean? What would I rather be?
No, well, it was like two thoughts at once.
Would I rather be a cop or would I rather be a bartender? Is that what you're saying?
Run a bar. Yeah. In terms of easiness,
I would not want to be a cop if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, I would not feel comfortable.
I have
with
no
a gun,
interest in being on the force.
He forgets his gun, right? Or he forgets to load his gun.
He just doesn't load it.
But I would also be very bad, I think, at running a bar.
No, I mean, I'm projecting on to Winston what would be my nightmare of running a bar. Like, I would not want to make small talk with all the patrons day in and day out.
The small talk is what the problem was. I think the logistics. Like, I don't even know how to pour a drink. That would be my issue.
Well, you could take a class. You'd have to take a class.
Yeah, I guess any job you could take a class.
Yeah, that's like saying I don't want to be a cop because I don't know how to use handcuffs. You know, like, let's assume you'd learn.
Well, handcuffs is different than a handgun. I feel like they could teach you. I could have, like, Noam and Yosef, like, who probably try and handcuff their brother every day, teach me how to use them.
Well, Yosef could teach you how to use a gun, too, based on all of his experience that he talks about.
I mean, I do sometimes they have
bang
like,
bang go abracadabra go back to my gun. That's right. That's how
they
that
do
works.
Have like 100 Nerf guns. So sometimes I do have to say like stop shooting your little brother because they do try and shoot him a lot.
Love this for them. So Schmidt barges in and says, I need a drink, green, sweet, and in a fun glass, which I believe is a callback to Schmidt drinking melon liqueur back in the day when Cece got engaged. And they tell everyone that Jess made out with Schmidt's dad, and they get a really funny reaction. And he's like, did you like it? Which is the same thing Cece asked. Like, is he a good kisser? And it ends with a big ew from Schmidt. Good episode. Good, clean 60-minute podcast on 5 minutes of the episode.
But it was a good app.
All right, we already did the Kiwi guide on whether we'll see Sandy's eyebrows again. But who won the episode? Kiwi, we don't. Our listeners gave up on us, which I really couldn't respect more. No faith in us, which you shouldn't have. Nobody wrote in on who won the episode, so why don't you tell me, Kiwi?
Well, they probably did. They probably thought they had 3 weeks to write in. Also,
like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think they're like not listening. I just mean like. Why would they think we'd have an episode this week?
Mm-hmm. I haven't heard from PK in a while. I hope she's doing okay.
Yeah, sending love and light to PK.
I mean, I hope she's like, I was probably going to trash talk her if the Jets ended up being the Chiefs, but it didn't happen.
That's because the refs were working for Taylor Swift in the NFL.
No, obviously, that's true. But who won the, this is a really hard one. I don't know because you can't give it like it's not Schmidt because Jess made out with her dad. It's not Jess because she made out with Schmidt's dad. Cece doesn't really have enough of a storyline here, so I think I'm gonna split my vote between Nick and Winston for their storyline and give it half to Nick and half to Winston for having the pro-hardest
job. I think that's right. I was gonna say Cece, but you're right. She's not in it enough. But if you're doing it based on who comes out the winner. Her wedding decisions were made for her, which she seems to not care about. She got this job that she wanted that we don't really see her doing. And Schmidt got a nap in, so he'll be more tolerable. Like, I think she comes out the best. I don't want to give it to Winston because I'm really rubbed the wrong way that when he goes to do the apology, he's like, now, remember, my job is harder. But Nick does get the respect of his friend that he wanted. So I'll co-sign the tie. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. And you know what they say?
What do they say?
A tie is like kissing your
friend's dad. It's like kissing your friend's dad, yeah. All right, let's leave it there, Keeve, because I can hear my mom wrapping up her phone call, so I don't get in trouble here. If you want to leave a review,
she's
like
my wife's mom, you still have another 40 minutes if they're wrapping up.
No, I could tell. I'm sure there's been some wrap-ups I haven't heard, but it's been louder, and that's how I know. All right. Yes, yes. All right. I will talk to you. Tell her I said, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We still got a half hour with my mother-in-law.
All right. Check out Renap. Oops, all mailbag. Check out 32 Fans, patron or regular. Check out me on the challenge, CBS season 2, wrap up, robinsonwebsite.com/challengefeed. If you're one of the 1.5 million viewers, what are you doing if you're not listening to it? Leave us a review if you want. Leave us questions at the pinned tweet. Ugh, I haven't repinned the tweet. Whatever. Get us questions however you want to get us questions. Hopefully I'll replug the link at some point. Kiwi, let's guess the episode title, shall we?
Well, I saw Jeff Day is in two episodes, so I didn't see.
You could be thinking on that for a while, but
by the way,
right
I
should
I didn't even think about it. But D Day and Jess's last name is Day, but that didn't really
look
come up.
Look at that! Look at you putting things.
What
together.
Is the episode name?
Let's see if having 2 weeks to think about Jeff Day gives you a better guess.
Okay.
Season 5, episode 13. Can you believe it?
Can't.
Sam again.
Shoot! I don't remember who freaking Sam was.
Oh, it's been a while.
One of Jess's ex-boyfriends. He's back.
Okay, let's see. If I said Dr. Sam, would that mean anything
to
you?
Yeah, I remember. Oh, the guy who they had like a really serious relationship and then they sort of like broke up off camera, basically. Not off camera. Off camera was the guy who moved back to, went to Europe.
Yeah, that was Ryan Cousinier.
It had an abrupt ending with the ex-wife or something like that.
I'm actually trying to remember how her and Sam broke up. But, No, I think, wasn't there an issue? Oh, no, it was the proposal.
Allie from the editing room with the confessional. Now, Look at how honest I am, because I could just delete this entire thing and no one would be the wiser, and then I could blame Keeve in another few episodes for being spoiled. But I did proceed for 5 seconds to stumble around a very creaky synopsis of ultimately what happens with Sam the second time around. It has finally happened. I have lost track of the plot. But luckily, Keith doesn't pay attention to me, so I don't think he followed. And as you guys know, and as I'm proving right here, I've never really been clear in my summaries. So we'll see what he can retain as we see what's going to unfold with Jess and Sam. Back to the show.
I'm gonna edit all this out. All right, Keeve. See you next week.
See you next week.
My bite and my dad, my bite and my